Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. For the rest of today's show, we're going to hear from Republican State Representative Jeanette Nunez of Miami. She was chosen in September by Republican gubernatorial nominee Ron DeSantis to be his running mate. Nunez lives in Miami. She was first elected to the Florida House of Representatives in 2010, and she would be the first Cuban-American woman to serve as the state's lieutenant governor if she and DeSantis are elected tomorrow. She served as Speaker pro tem under House Speaker Richard Corcoran during the last legislative session. We caught up with Mrs. Nunez on Thursday of last week, so we're not taking calls during our interview, but if you'd like to add your thoughts, you can do so via social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So let's hear that conversation now. Were you surprised at all when Congressman DeSantis asked you to be his running mate?
Well, obviously, it was a tremendous source of pride to be considered and ultimately to be selected. I had heard the rumor mill that I was on the short list and obviously had the opportunity to have a conversation with him. And I think he was really very forthcoming in terms of what he was looking for in a running mate, not just from a campaign perspective, but obviously from a governing perspective. And I think one of the things that really drew him to me is just my ability to get things done in the legislature and my my track record in working with members of both the House and Senate, having served the past 8 years in the Florida House. And so I think he was really excited about the opportunity of not just campaigning, but also governing. And I look standing alongside him in that regard as well.
So was it an automatic yes from you when you were asked?
Well, I wouldn't quite say that because, as you can imagine, it's a big decision with big family implications. And so I had to have some discussions with my husband and my kids. My older two are teenagers, and they have a lot of strong opinions as well. So it was a family decision and one that took a little bit of time just from the standpoint of making sure it was the right fit for my family, for me. I was hoping to take a little break from politics, but it wasn't in the cards, and I'm just really glad to be standing alongside a man like Ron DeSantis.
So you're the first Cuban-American woman to run for Florida's lieutenant governor position. How does that feel?
Well, again, the source of pride that he would consider me and select me, not for myself, for my family. You know, my parents obviously came to this country in 1961 in search of opportunities and living out the American dream. And I know for them it's a moment of extreme pride, but also for my community and the individuals that I've had the privilege of representing the past 8 years in the House district that I represent. And so it really is a unique experience, and the campaign's just been such a wonderful opportunity to get to talk to Floridians from all walks of life.
So, you know, as you just mentioned, you served in the Florida House, and during the 2014 legislative session, you worked with State Senator Jack Latvala to sponsor legislation that allowed the children of undocumented immigrants to pay the same in-state tuition rates for college as other Floridians. That legislation ended up passing the legislature and being signed into law by Governor Rick Scott. So your running mate, Ron DeSantis, has famously hitched his fortune to President Donald Trump and his Build the Wall platform. Does supporting that kind of legislation kind of jive with the current rhetoric?
Well, no, actually, I think if you look at some of the statements the president has made of late with regards to immigration, it's my understanding, I haven't studied his executive order or his plans on what he's hoping to do, but I know he has indicated that he's looking for a solution for DACA students. And that bill was really focused on making sure that the millions of dollars that we've poured in on the K-12 setting, it wasn't providing a special benefit. It was just allowing for those students to continue on in their education to pay the lower rate and make sure that the focus of those students was really coming out of what we have, a system-wide policy at our state universities, that 90% of our students system-wide must be Florida residents. So those students, those undocumented students, would be categorized under that 10% balance system-wide that allows them to pay a lower rate.
And I'm going to go back in the history machine again, too, to 2016 in March. You wrote on Twitter, you made a tweet that said, "Wake up, Florida voters. Trump is the biggest con man there is. No substance. Anti-Israel. Supports KKK. Never Trump. Vote Marco Rubio," because you were an ardent supporter of Marco Rubio. Do you still think that about President Trump, or has that changed?
Of course not. You know, campaigns can get heated, and they're a prime example of when you say things and tweet things, and I actually talk to my kids about that from time to time. So I was proud to be part of the convention in Cleveland, and I'm proud to support President Trump. I think he's done a lot of great things for this country and in particular this state, and I look forward to continuing to work with Ron DeSantis and moving Florida's agenda, working positively with the Trump administration.
So what do you think that you would bring to the governor's mansion personally?
Well, personally, I think I bring a unique perspective on ensuring legislative accomplishments. I know Ron DeSantis has a very bold agenda to make sure that we get a lot done with the legislature. And so I have the know-how, I have the experience, I have the relationships with both the House and the Senate to make sure that our agenda crosses that finish line, that we're able to implement good policies, working with our legislative leaders to continue pushing Florida forward, whether it's in the area of continued tax cuts that we've seen time and time again, or whether it's in terms of education or in terms of the environment. I think, again, Ron's vision for Florida and his platform, his record of getting things done, along with my record of accomplishments in the legislative process, I think it's going to be a great thing for Floridians.
So you're a former healthcare lobbyist, and I want to know what your thoughts are on the new rhetoric coming out of the White House about Republicans always having been for covering pre-existing conditions. Is that really the case?
So I worked off and on in the healthcare setting. I worked for 6.5 years as the vice president of government affairs for Jackson Memorial Hospital, one of the largest hospitals in the country and certainly one of the largest in the state of Florida. And so I think Ron has been very clear in terms of pre-existing conditions. And I myself have worked on issues with regards to protecting people. For example, a bill that I worked very closely with several of my colleagues on, and a bill that we were proud to have sponsored and passed, which would have provided women and men as well, those that are in, getting chemotherapy, especially breast cancer patients, those women were going to have access to oral chemo. We wanted to make sure that they were able to live the quality of life that they can, being able to have access to oral chemo versus IV chemo, which, as you know, is a struggle for quality of life, and also in terms of their impact financially. And so we've worked on a lot of issues in the legislature to address that, and we want to make sure that we continue to protect people with pre-existing conditions.
You talk a little bit about yourself and Mr. DeSantis and the getting things done. What is the thing you would like to get done on healthcare in Florida?
So I think Ron is very committed to bringing transparency to the healthcare system. As we know, it's oftentimes convoluted and very difficult to comprehend and very difficult to afford, for that matter. So I think transparency is a big issue. Affordability is a big issue. Obviously, the opioid crisis is another proponent of healthcare that we really need to make sure that we're passing good legislation and addressing that issue head on the front. But I also think it's important that we protect our safety net. Has talked on many an occasion of his ability to work with the federal government. And I'll give you a prime example. Florida really ranks low when it comes to federal funding. Other states like California receive hundreds of millions of dollars to really plug their system, their safety net system, their federally qualified health centers. And so I think Ron and I are well positioned to reevaluate what is Florida's fair share and make sure that we continue to push forward that funding that's critical for a lot of communities and a lot of safety net systems.
Okay, so I'm going to shift gears a little bit and go to the environment. Down here in Southwest Florida, we've faced two harmful algal blooms in our area. And while there is clearly no easy answer to the decades-old problems that are feeding these blooms, how would a DeSantis-Nunez administration's approach to fixing these problems differ from a Gillum King administration?
Well, if you look at Ron's track record in Washington and you look at his comprehensive environmental platform, you can see that we have a detailed plan on what we want to accomplish, whether it's with water quality and water quality standards, whether it's beach renourishment, protecting our springs, our lakes, our rivers, and also in terms of Lake Okeechobee and the reservoir south of the lake, and making sure that that water, when it flows to the estuaries, that it is clean, that we are working with the Army Corps of Engineers and making sure that some of the policies that they've implemented over the past years that potentially have contributed to the algae blooms. I think it's important that we recognize that Ron, again, is very well positioned to be able to work with the federal government. Just recently, President Trump signed into law an important piece of legislation that's going to bring much-needed funding to be able to complete some of those projects. Also with regards to the Everglades and restoration efforts that have been ongoing, and really the federal government has promised us hundreds of millions of dollars that just haven't flowed to Florida. Again, I think it's important when you differentiate what a Gillum King administration, that all they want to do is talk about climate change and cap and trade. And it's just things that really are not solutions. It's not solution driven. And quite frankly, I don't see how someone that's running on impeaching President Trump could get anything done.
Well, that's with relationship with the federal government. But at the state level, environmental oversight has notably been scaled back under Governor Rick Scott. Do you think that you and DeSantis would be in favor of ramping up and increasing funding for that kind of environmental protection within the state?
Well, I certainly believe so. I also believe that Ron is going to appoint people to water management boards. He's looking at innovation in techniques and technology to address some of those algae blooms. He's cited on several occasions some promising technology the state of Israel has ongoing to deal with some of those issues. But I think that's just scratching the surface. I think it's important that we'll continue to work with the legislature. As you know, hundreds of millions of dollars have been set aside, but there's a lot more to do. And so I think the state has a responsibility to bear, not just in funding, but ensuring the water quality standards and the best management practices are put into place, and that we're working amongst all partners, whether it's federal or local or state. We want to make sure there's a cohesive, collaborative effort to address these issues head on, because Ron and I understand that the environment is integrally linked to the economy, and we want to make sure to protect our environment, because ultimately that's really the future. That's our lifeblood, and Floridians for generations to come are really dependent on improving our environment. And I think that's something that Ron has been very, very vocal on. And I think that he's going to work day one to make sure we're addressing those issues.
So you were a member of the Constitution Revision Commission, and I want to know what you think about that process.
Well, it was an interesting process, to say the least. It's only occurred 3 times in our history. And part of me thinks that perhaps there's an opportunity to revisit whether it's necessary or not. As it is, Florida's Constitution is amended more often than not, especially in comparison to our U.S. Constitution. And so I also have concerns about just the nature of the citizen petition initiative. And I know, obviously, that's a wonderful thing about our democracy, but I also think that it's concerning in terms of, you know, certain individuals that just want to throw money around to change the Constitution at will. I think we need to proceed cautiously. I think we need to look at what are the issues really and truly that need to be addressed in our Constitution. There are certain things that I support that would be done legislatively, and I think perhaps people are quick to put it towards a constitutional amendment. But I also hear from voters that really are just not excited about the length of the ballot and the amount of questions, constitutional amendments that are on there. So I think it's a challenge. And, you know, I would be amenable to looking at perhaps revising what is the ease with which we can amend our Constitution.
And my last question that I want to ask, where are you going to be on election night?
We're going to be celebrating in Orlando and looking forward to really enjoying that time and making sure that our family, our friends are there to celebrate with us, because I firmly believe on November 6th, voters are going to agree that Ron and I are not just the best choice, but we're truly the only choice to protect Florida's future.
That was Republican State Representative and candidate for Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez. We spoke to her last week. You can hear my conversation with Democratic Tallahassee Mayor and candidate for Governor Andrew Gillum at GulfCoastLive.org. We did extend an invitation to Mr. DeSantis to be on the show, but never heard back from his campaign. That's all the time we've got for today's show. Polls open for tomorrow's general midterm election at 7 a.m. and close tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. We'll have live coverage right here on 90.1 FM and 91.7 FM on Marco Island. We'll have coverage from NPR on elections across the country. We'll also have live results from here in Southwest Florida, including regional and statewide races and Florida state amendments. You will also find our coverage online at WGCUnews.org. And if you want to follow along as the results come in via social media, you can find us on Twitter with the handle at WGCU. For more information on our elections coverage, conversations with candidates, and analysis of the amendments that you will find on the ballot, you can just check WGCUnews.org. Our show today was produced by Mike Kinnairy and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM. NPR for Southwest Florida.